Good morning. It's just after 9 a.m. here in the North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol in Bismarck. We have a work session scheduled for this morning. It's case number PU-09-670, which is Minn Kota Power Cooperative, Inc., 345 KV transmission line, centered to Grand Forks siting application. For our record and for anyone who may be listening in, we should identify ourselves. This is Tony Clark.
Good morning, Kevin Kramer.
And good morning, Brian Kulk.
And then joining us from staff.
Matt Sagsveen from the Attorney General's office.
And Jerry Leon with staff.
All right. And just as a reminder to anyone who may be listening in, work sessions are just an opportunity for the commission to discuss amongst itself and with staff pending cases. We don't ordinarily have any inside input or outside input, being that the record is closed, although in limited circumstances, we might direct a question to someone if we just need a point of clarification. With that, Jerry, you had circulated last week some information for discussion at the work session this morning, and maybe you just want to go through that. We've got a working draft of a proposed order and also an Excel spreadsheet that lists some of the landowner testimony.
And the spreadsheet, it didn't get printed right. I don't know how your copy is, but it should have been landscape printed. So you have to look to the back through pages for the comments. First column was the person's name.
Yep.
Second column was their location. And oh, you got yours right. Kevin's look good.
Let's see. Okay. Is this how it's supposed to work?
Yeah, that's right. Jerry's didn't work.
Yeah. Brian's actually.
Brian's didn't work. Uh-oh.
Need
to fix the
words. But it's in the order.
Mine's a little bit confusing.
The landowner things that were mentioned are the ones where there is a route change. Mm-hmm. That was accepted or rejected. Otherwise, they're not all of the concerns are listed in the order. So I don't know, what's the best thing to do here? You want to just go through the order?
Is it best to go through the order, or is it best, or is it easiest to deal with issues first? And the issues are basically laid out if we follow the landowner testimony, and then we can either say this wasn't addressed, it was addressed, or it was looked at in
for whatever reason,
and do we concur or disagree?
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense? Should we maybe start with the landowner testimony and then go through the order?
Sure. So okay, first we got the Washburn hearing, and first on the list is Ralph Leet. And if you remember right, he had a renter that he was worried about, that he might lose. The renter didn't want to farm around the poles and didn't want to do the damage claims.
But these were compensation issues.
And so forth, yeah. And so
not much we can do about that.
Yep, agreed.
All right, Mr. Peterson, there were some specific concerns across that Painted Woods section. It was adjusted somewhat, but
there were
totally. I mean, it seemed like to me Minn Kota had
pretty good answer.
Good answer from an environmental standpoint on why it was routed like it was.
It was, and in addition to that, there had been a meeting with the rest of the neighbors in the township and everything, and
that's the bigger issue probably as much as anything. And his proposals would have affected other landowners, right?
Everybody had kind of thought they'd come away with an agreement, was my take from everything. Mm-hmm. And then and he didn't like it, or somehow on the way that it was going across his pastures.
But again, from an objective standpoint, it looked like the best route. So,
even looking at aerial photos of the trees and stuff. And he was like,
"Yeah."
Did he testify in the certificate hearing also?
Yes,
he did.
And if you remember,
and it changed
right,
a little bit between the.
If you remember right, he didn't want the lion at all, and he also was had other Minn Kota lions or something on his property that he'd had trouble with before. When they show up, they didn't treat his property right.
Okay, Mr. Basaraba, this was the eminent domain. Things not within the commission purview. Okay. Douglas Ruby.
I don't think Doug's issues were really citing issues either, as I recall. But I'm trying to find what's... Some of these don't line up on my sheet just right.
Yeah, I'm having difficulties here, too. Route modification. Easier if I use my screen here.
Mm-hmm.
In this last round, it was almost like most of the concerns came up or something that were out of our area or...
A lot of them were.
Yeah, the Ruby, Douglas Ruby, he was asking about what we do with eminent domain. Mm-hmm. And he also had some questions about the transfer of the lion from.
Okay, so his was the it was that question. Basaraba must have been the Minn Kota has met with township and agreed upon current alignment.
No, Basaraba was her and the neighbors just west of Highway 41 heard the neighbor to the south wanted the route moved, and they don't want it moved onto their land.
Okay. So they were just...
Make sure it didn't go on.
Make sure it didn't go on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Weber, that was the issue. He testified at a number of hearings. That was the issue related to an unoccupied dwelling that he thought at some point they might use, and there were some changes made in subsequent filings. Correct. I don't know if he's. I mean, the record's closed, so we don't know how he feels about them, but it did appear to at least try to.
It did
address something, and the pictures were descriptive.
They were, and in fact, that was the situation where they actually the reroute went further from his home, but on further from homes, but maybe on some of his land that he didn't want or something like that.
Yeah.
Ryan's in his sheet twice.
Well, he testified a couple times.
Yeah. I think that his issues have been addressed appropriately.
So quite well.
And Ryan also submitted a letter to us after the hearing. I have copies if you want. It's kind of the same kind of issues.
I'd say the record
is closed. I don't know what you want to do with that. Put it in a public input file.
Yes, public input file. Okay. Bruce Hansen, that was just easement issues. Didn't want the line. Easement money's no good.
We did on Ryan Weber.
Yeah.
He is addressed in the order.
Okay.
And we rerouted a little bit to get 500 feet away from where the Minn Kota rerouted. To get 500 feet away from that dwelling that he had mentioned.
Okay. Larry Steven.
Commissioner Clark, before we go on, I think Exhibit V, which is a late file exhibit, was an attempt to do some accommodating.
Okay.
For Weber.
Be in front of me.
For Weber.
Yes.
I took a look at all of them, Molly.
And that Exhibit V has pictures of the house in it.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Larry Steffen. Again, this is...
Okay.
Notification concerns, but...
Yeah, I wasn't notified of hearing.
And they were just more general concerns. Miss Braun, general concerns.
You remember
about
right, yeah. She was in Minocan.
Yep.
And had the family farm by Wilton.
Mm-hmm. Jeff and Jesse Topp. There were subsequent...
We had...
filings in that and...
Route modifications accepted, and that's Exhibit R.
And it looked good to me. I mean, he kept it all on his land, but moved it to a more acceptable spot for them.
Yeah,
it was pretty much just as testified to in the
in
hearing.
Carrington.
And it's addressed in the order.
Todd Leake, this had to do with whether they had the appropriate... permits for Fairfield and Oakville townships.
Yeah. And he also said that the alkali flats soils weren't supporting the structures, weren't strong enough to support the structures, and it was too close to the airport. He didn't have any land that was crossed by the route.
I think
well, airport issues be dealt with by FAA.
Yeah.
You have to defer to them.
I think I questioned the witness, and not Mr. Leake, but after Mr. Leake testified about the soil and its ability to support structures, and I think the testimony was that it could support the structures.
Well, yeah, and you can't... You need an engineer to do that.
Yeah. Well, there are lines running through the alkali flats already.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I questioned the Minn Kota witness.
Oh, okay.
And the Minn Kota witness testified,
right. Testified that they believed okay. It could.
Right.
That's a greater weight of evidence issue. And Fairfield and Oakville townships, I mean, that just is what it is. They'll have to get the conditional use permits from them. So.
If the townships require them, they have to get them and file them.
Yep. Prairie and Ryan Topp, this was dealt with the Jess and Jesse Topp. Didn't move on their land, which was their primary concern.
Yep, didn't want it.
Kevin Horniman.
He wants.
These were more general things.
Yeah.
That
he was worried about the spring road impacts, and was there going to be capacity on the line for some wind power?
Yeah. Miss Braun, we've already talked about. Gary Weigum.
He's addressed in the order.
That was at Bradford Town site.
Right.
And I think that Minn Kota's late filed exhibit showed that there was historical significance to it and people living in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the bigger issue, I think.
Yeah.
Other people's land and proximity to the residents.
So we reject the reroute.
Right. Ryan Weber, we've already dealt with that again. J-Top, he just wanted to make sure
the
line was what it was. He had questions about the right-of-way, which, again, was there were follow-up exhibits related to state law regarding how far from a section line structures could be built, the whole state right-of-way issue, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and the whole right-of-way issue on highways is, I don't know, it's complicated.
It is. And, you know, I get the landowner concerns in this regard.
Yeah.
You drive along, was it 94? I think it was 94 where I was kind of paying attention to the CapEx lines. And those things are on the highway. I mean, they are right on the edge of a field, which, to me, it does make more sense. It makes it easier to farm around. I don't know if there's something different in North Dakota law.
You know,
I guess that I don't know if our highway department approaches it differently than
what I heard one time. I don't know if there's anything to it or not, but what I heard is that the highway department doesn't want to grant the right-of-ways unless whoever's getting the right-of-way says that they will move the line at their own expense if they need to.
And I think later. That may be in our record.
Yeah.
We had that. In theory, too. Maybe they could, but then they're basically at the whim of any time somebody wants to run a road grader down the. Mm-hmm. And
I can't remember where we got that from, but it seemed like it was one of the cases.
Might
have been a pipeline case.
In my experience with the Devil's Lake Outlet, they had to adjust a road and they had to move some, I believe they had to move some power lines, and I think they were in the right-of-way, and ultimately, my recollection was if they're placed within the right-of-way, the utility would have to pay the cost to move if the right-of-way is expanded or the road is expanded to accommodate the right-of-way. So in Minnesota, they might be right, they might have a different right-of-way size or might be right on the edge of the right-of-way, whereas it may vary in North Dakota.
Or the But a subdivision may pay for, you know, if they start.
The way they site their transmission lines, they don't go through any of the process that we do.
No. I get the concern. I think it's legit. I think there may be some issues in North Dakota that make it tough to address it, though.
That was Mark
Hagemeister.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to do with some bins, but bins aren't a
occupied residence.
It's not an occupied residence, not a protected category of any kind. And then if you start moving them around, you're affecting other landowners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's the summary of the landowner concerns, I think.
Okay.
There was one more that I got a letter on after the record had closed. And this one, I got the letter if you want to take a quick look. I can show you the area on a map here.
Take a look. We may not be able to do anything about it.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, the record's closed, but he wrote in. And in his case, he said he wasn't aware of that they'd moved this on him, and that's why he didn't come to the hearing. See on this thing, but I tried to print it and my printer's not printing very well. I'll bring it around here if you don't mind. Show you the area that he's talking about. Okay, he's looking at 147.73, and we're coming up here. This is 11th Street.
Right here.
Yeah, and he says the power line would run along section and go to 12th Street. Now we're informed that the line is being changed to go on our land in section 1 going down 11th Street. And, so this is 11th. It was up here on 12th according to what he was told.
His understanding.
It doesn't seem like his understanding is accurate.
And all he says is he feels there's even more discussion on this matter. He's out of Hurstfield. And he said he had some neighbors that felt the same way, but I don't see anything in the letter about neighbors. When he finally asked him to write down what he had to send it in. Put in public input. So I'm trying to recall.
Well, was this even changed?
Well, we widened the corridor here.
Right, we widened the corridor, but.
If, if his statement's not accurate.
And I don't know if it was.
But I don't know that the route was. Corridor's widened, but looks like it's right in the middle of the corridor. I don't remember if the original route ran up along 12th or not.
I'll tell you what, I'll go back and look back to the corridor application and see where it was going through there. We kind of lost this letter, and I just found it here before we started. And let you know if we've moved it. But you're right, it does go right down the middle. It could very well be that they first started talking to him about putting it on 12th, and that was never proposed to us.
Well, that's, it's kind of a key point. I mean,
well, I mean, eventually it does end up on 12th. And honestly, looking at it, I don't know that it would matter. Well, I can see why they're not running it down 12. Right there. There's an occupied residence.
There's a house there.
Here, actually, here, if you guys want to see this, this would make all the sense in the world.
They wouldn't have ever.
Yeah, I mean, here's... Okay, so here's where they were talking about. Uh-huh. And in the next slide, they bring it up to 12. But here's... Oops. Here's why. Okay, so they could just bring it up along here if they wanted, but look at this.
That wetland.
Nope. There's an occupied residence right there. That's why you do it like that.
It could very well be what they did.
I don't know. I think given this map, given the fact that it wasn't timely received, the record's closed, it's...
Okay.
And yeah, we don't. We have no way of knowing
what the background
what the original was. Right. Discussion yeah. was.
So, okay, I mean, I can dig further on it if you want, or we, or not.
I think there's
I think you just have
process
to
timeliness issues as well as just kind of a prima facie. You look at the map and you can see why they did what they did. So,
I also received a call from an attorney 2 days ago indicating that she, on behalf of her client, was going to submit some documentation, although at the time she hadn't read the certificate, which I think addressed her client's concerns regarding the Salt Flats area. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was, she didn't tell me who the person was, so it may have actually been someone who had previously testified, but regardless, she wasn't aware of the fact that that issue had been kind of dealt with in the certificate order.
Okay.
And I haven't heard anything from her since, and I'm not aware of any filing at this point. Are you, Jerry?
Oh, I didn't hear the first on it.
I mean, you weren't,
so they talked to you.
To me?
No, I mean, they talked to you. I mean, they didn't, I don't think I ever talked to them.
Okay.
Okay. Should we go through the order? Okay, page one.
So for the, like I say, for the most part, this order just is what they proposed.
Page two. Page 3. Page 4. Six.
I did have one general question about. And we did the first one, and we approved the corridor, and now we're doing the actual route. We talk a lot in here about, you know, like page two, is it appropriate to approve a 1,000-foot corridor? And didn't we already do that?
Do you know what? That was my fault. When I wrote the notice, I should have changed that, modified that last issue.
I kind of wondered about that at one point.
Yeah.
Even in the, at the hearing, I thought.
When he brought it, I jumped on, what did I say? But I should have said, is it appropriate for the commission to approve changes to the 1,000-foot wide corridor or something along those lines to go with it? So,
can we do something like that in the order that...
It was in the... I think that...
It's in the notice.
It's left alone as best to fix for it.
Okay.
I mean, it should have been better in the notice.
Huh. Yeah, sir.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's a good catch, though.
Anything on six? Seven? Eight. Here's where we start getting into the route modification requests. A lot of this is going to be similar because of the previously cited corridor, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit different. Paragraph 27 deals with the top issue.
Right. I went through the late filed exhibits and looked back and forth to make sure that I didn't, when I looked, assuming they're all the same in here, I looked like they did everything they could do in the cases that situations that were raised and pretty much right down the line as discussed at the hearing,
mm-hmm.
which demonstrates why hearings are good and why it's important to show up at them. You know, and yeah.
Okay. And then the Brantford issue. Which appears to, that's, I think, a well-worded statement of the facts.
Yeah.
Okay, on page 10, Jerry proposed deleting the Mankota will conduct environmental monitoring during construction, including utilizing an environmental inspector.
I didn't see a reason to go there. You know, remember that we did that for that pipeline.
Well, yeah, although I wondered about that, too, and I've been thinking about it. And
there was some testimony early on about going through the salt flats that somebody would be out there to help, and they seemed like they were amenable to that. I can't remember exactly the specifics.
It was the Prairie Alliance or Dakota Prairie.
Right.
They did go out there and help to change that route. There was a reroute that got proposed through there, and they were told in the corridor proceeding to work with the Prairie Partners and the Audubon Society to get through that area.
I do think there's a larger question, though, that I think this was trying to address, and that is, you know, is it 260 miles, lots of, you know, landowners? Is this a case where we put in a...
Well, this came out of the discussion, and Kevin, it might have been your question about, you have any problem if we take the siting fee money and hire a third-party inspector, and then I think they basically said, no, we don't have a problem, and in addition, we're going to be... I could be...
With something like that.
Remembering something a little bit wrong, but it seems like it was along those lines. They said, well, you know, we'll be doing some of that ourselves.
Well, and I think one of the things that was discussed, as you remember with the Keystone, of course, we had to go to the emergency commission, go back to the company, and get another allotment of money, whereas if you put in the order that they'll do it as part of their, you know, construction, then... It's their expense from the beginning and throughout.
Is there another word instead of environmental? Because sometimes that tricks.
No, I agree, Brian. I think construction, you know, inspection in general involves.
That's what I would think of more, is that just somebody out there seeing what's going on. Not so much environmental tells people they're trying to look at bugs and bunnies instead of all kinds of issues.
But we want to comply with the entire order. The problem with this, is that, you know, who does that if they're paid for
cultural resources,
even landowner reclamation.
And what's an environmental inspector?
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
What is an environmental inspector?
Didn't Minn Kota offer to do this though? So
they did, and they put it in the
instead of using the word will. I mean, we're requiring to do it. Couldn't you adjust that language? Say Minn Kota testified it will conduct. It will monitor sensitive agricultural or prairie issues during construction. I don't know what an environmental inspector is.
Yeah, I don't know exactly
either,
what they were going to monitor. And
what we want them to monitor is compliance with the order.
Yep.
Now, and so if they're hiring, I mean, obviously they have to do that whether anybody's monitoring them or not.
Yeah.
The advantage of a monitor is it gives a sense of confidence, you know, that there's a third party looking at it and ensuring it. And it's just another set of eyes.
Well, and they were communicating that they would have someone available to kind of be a liaison with the local prairie partners or whomever to be able to receive concerns during construction, I think.
Would you all be willing to just go back, look at the record quick, and see if there's something that can be structured as a finding that encompasses kind of what Kevin was saying, is the idea that, and I think it's probably contained in there. Maybe I know Minn Kota's listening in. They may have some language that, you know, that would do the trick. But basically the idea is that they're hiring somebody who's whose job it is to ensure monitoring and monitor the construction of the project, ensuring compliance with the commission order.
Okay.
In addition to that, if, you know, depending what's left of the filing fee, I still think we could do a, you know, third party spot inspection sort of program.
Sure. Or, yeah, it doesn't preclude us doing it.
Right. Yeah, if that's a good idea, Tony. If they just, but it is more than just sort of environmental.
Does the commission want to put that in this order?
Well, I'm
we plan to do it.
Yeah, I was wondering that too. I mean,
we can do it separately.
We don't need to. We wouldn't. It doesn't have to.
But it is
just part of our job. But.
I'll tell you, we have Wanick or whatever they call it.
Wanzik.
We have them.
Wank.
There we go.
They're one of our inspections.
Yeah. I think they're doing the Minnesota Power ones out there, and I think they're going on site to inspect the Bison site during construction here right now. So, I mean, I think that we are doing that already a little bit. We used to every once in a while show up on site somewhere when we were doing this ourselves, but not very often.
You don't have time for that.
Yeah.
And that's the point, and that's really the point.
You know, I like the idea of putting something in here that says they do that, especially since they offered up to do part of it.
But
I mean, the only thing is
it,
it's...
We should just
we don't,
do it.
It doesn't have to
do
be
it.
Part of the order necessarily.
Right.
For our, you know, because it's a part of our obligation. Is
it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be ordering ourselves to do something as opposed to a company. But
that's what I think.
But mentioning it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, if there's a way to mention that the commission...
Well, if they're doing it, fine. If we're doing it, we should just... I mean, we do post-construction inspections, and we're not putting that in the order.
What if we just had a separate motion on the same commission meeting?
Yeah. What would it say? Like...
The thing we have to
commission
know...
intends to...
almost like
enter into a contract, you know.
Scope that, work almost together.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is, it will almost certainly challenge the engineering procurement rules, which will require, you know, we got to get Josh on it like today.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Because the whole RFP process is.
I mean, haven't we typically when we execute those contracts, they're just on consent or something, aren't they?
They have been. I asked them to be this last time because we did.
We had all 12 of them. Yeah, we had a big slug of them.
And they're all $25,000 or less. This could be $75,000.
Yeah, and you know, Pat has been doing these contracts with these with these guys, and so you ought to probably talk with him a little bit too. But it dawns on me that we're only keeping $5,000 out of these things. Is that still the case?
No, that's the point.
I don't think we send anything back until it's all done.
Yeah. Okay. The only reason we only keep 5,000 is because we're kind of done with it. But we're doing less of that too, Jerry. You know, and on
and we got a rule there somewhere too.
With all these PAT things, as you pointed out, you know, they're exceeding the $5,000 per project. Because those we were able to use $5,000 for post construction, but this we're talking about a construction inspection in addition to post construction, and so it's going to cost more, and that's why it takes us. There's just a little more due process in hiring that firm through the procurement rules. That's all.
Well, check with Josh about how we would go about procuring. See how much money we've got left in the siting fund. I'm sure it's quite a bit.
Let me ask you this: Did they file two filing fees?
Well, that's my other question: Was there a filing fee for the corridor? Was there a filing fee for the route?
I think there was, but I don't know.
This is a single permit number, though.
Yeah,
inspecting both the corridor and route.
The route or the corridor too.
True.
So you may, I mean, there may be a larger pot of money available here, but that doesn't get around the procurement issues, which are.
Is even more important than the post-construction inspection part of it.
I'm with you, Brian. I've always felt, I mean, this has been a long slog, as you know, but we're at that point. And these cases, when I say these, high profile, all greenfield pretty much, new landowner things just demand a greater.
And then when we do get questions from landowners about, wait a second, I saw something I don't like.
Yep.
You got somebody
say,
right there we call.
Here's who you want to talk to. Here's our inspector. And relay the information to them, they'll get out there.
I put some standards with their reports.
Here he is. Did you set me up again?
Come on in.
No, come on in. We actually want you here this time.
Grab a mic.
Yeah, this time we actually want you here. He almost cried wolf one too many times.
Mm-hmm. Procurement.
Turn on your microphone.
Yes, sir.
You turn on your mic.
Uh-oh.
Green means on.
In this Minco to Power case, 345 KV line, we are interested in entering a contract for inspection during construction, not a post-construction inspection,
but
which means it's going to be a higher dollar value one. So if we get into over $25,000 procurement for inspection services, what are we looking at in terms of procedure and timetable for executing that sort of thing? And is $25,000 the cutoff between?
That's the cutoff per project.
Okay.
So if this is a related project, I would say we're probably looking at we're exceeding the $25,000 threshold. Of course, I'd have to look at the specifics. If we're looking at another engineering firm to conduct more
inspections. This is a siting app that has not had, we've not
done anything
yet. We've not contracted with anybody.
Oh.
It's not part of a existing.
I don't know if Pat's done the post-construction yet. I had to talk to him.
Post-construction?
To assign Wank or somebody to it.
I doubt that very much.
We aren't ahead on this one. Do you think, does it sound familiar?
I'd have to look at the case numbers, and I could do some quick research. If there's no contract out there, no procurement.
I don't think we've signed anybody on this one. I just can't imagine.
I don't remember that.
But maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
These guys have gotten pretty well on top of it, so when the app comes in, since the clock starts ticking right away where they, do some. But this is not just post-construction. You've been doing some construction stuff as well on some of these shorter pipelines and things. These ones that we just approved, 15 or so.
But if we're going to do a contract, wouldn't we want to do a construction and
this is
post-construction
a bigger,
in one big lump than trying to do it twice?
This is more like the Keystone pipeline where we've got, it'll be probably substantially more. It's a long line, big project. You're going to have somebody going out throughout the course of the summer.
It'll take 4 to 6 weeks, probably, if it's a full-blown procurement
for an engineering consulting firm.
That's fine. We just is there something that the commission should do to kick that process off, or does that happen at the staff level? In other words, there need to be something on the commission motion that says begin the process of procurement.
Can we just issue an RFP? Our inspectors that we've already contracted with?
No, I think
you better ask the procurement cop here, but I'm pretty sure I know.
No.
No, we're going to do a new one for this and then see who new people come in, and then if it happens to be
somebody. It's a bigger project. It could attract different people.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, although we have some pretty big firms on these little ones, too. I mean, KLJ's got a couple. Wink's got some. K2's got some.
And if they choose to bid on this one, they will.
Sure, and I would think they would.
We can definitely. We don't need anything special. If you want to start working on this, I can start working with staff if Jerry's project lead or Pat, whoever it, can, it is, we can definitely start putting this together.
We haven't refunded filing fee for the this quarter. That'd be another thing to check on.
I'd have to get project numbers, but I could start pulling all that together. Yeah. How quickly would you like it?
Well, you want to do it pretty quickly.
5-10 minutes?
Oh.
I can start.
Maybe like next
meeting.
We just
need the info, before the next meeting, and just probably before when we vote this out, which could be the next meeting.
Yes.
We'll close.
Yeah. That was the next question.
I think we're...
Molly knows how to write an order. That's obvious. If she wrote this, for the most part.
Yeah. You guys know we're. I think we're almost there. There's a few little things we've talked about. But
I don't think there's any reason to hold it up. Should we have a finding, though, that says the commission intends to, based on testimony, because we did talk about this third-party inspection deal.
Yes, them on the record.
Based on testimony, the commission intends to procure, however we want to word it. Now, it doesn't have to be an order because we're not ordering ourselves, right. But it's a finding in the record, being that it was in the record.
Yeah.
Is that?
I like it.
Is that a finding? It's more of a commission statement, but...
Well, but it's a message back to the company that we're holding your siting dollars to do these things and some other
stuff. Well, it does do that. It does, you know, while it's in the record, it's further documents. That
was there something maybe the finding is...
I think that it draws...
Dakota did not object to...
It kind of draws attention to the fact that we haven't been doing it before.
Are you following your... Are you following your statutory or administrative... regulatory authority in doing that, and if you are, then you can say in your conclusions of law, pursuant to such and such statute or rule, the commission will be inspecting blah 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 blah.
Maybe that's the way to do it. If you all can think of a way to put, I think the idea is we're just trying to get a something in the order so that if someone were reading this, they could say, oh, the commission.
See, Jerry's right. I mean, historically,
we don't need to, but
historically, you know, he or Pat or somebody would go out there every once in a while, check on it, make sure things. But
yeah,
we don't have
we
that
just
luxury.
Hadn't been doing it as much as we should have.
When was the last time the commission cited 260 plus
and
miles
of
line?
Yeah,
I think that's
had dozens of outstanding citing cases
right,
at the same time.
Right,
yeah,
right. And had
I think it's a different world than before.
Yeah, so.
I agree with you, gentlemen.
So the other thought is if you do a special contract, it would go in this case with a motion, like Tony was saying, too. And then that way you're not...
But it can be a separate motion, obviously. So
yeah.
It'll be
whatever you want.
It'll be later.
We can do whatever
Josh
you want.
I think they're separate. You get this thing buttoned up, you vote on this, and he does his contracting function separately. And when they get that thing approved, then we vote on that.
Yeah.
So language is or not.
I think so, but the only reason to have language in here... And it can be pretty generic. It's just, like I said, that idea that a member of the general public who reads this order would have a sense that the commission's going to be following up at some point with its own third-party inspector, which I think is a good message to send.
Yep, I agree.
Just like
that way they're not having to sort through, you know, multiple commission meetings and you know, have to hunt down the order that's a separate procurement order. I mean, that'll all be on there, and we can do that separately anyway, but I just think it's nice to consolidate some of these issues in one document that you can point to.
Okay.
It's like reminding them to use North Dakota One Call. They're supposed
exactly.
to do it, but we remind them right here to do it.
Yep.
Precisely. Exactly. I mean, the rest of it's pretty standard. You got the...
I thought it looked really good. Except that 1,000-foot corridor, Jerry.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else in the remainder of it?
Josh, all that done by lunch.
You will. Well, he's been down this road. This is just the most...
You know, basic templates done. So
yeah.
We're going to do this one as a construction and post-construction.
Okay. Is there anything else in this case? Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing none, we'll close the work session. Thank you.
So how's the Reagan High plan going? Is that
I've thought about
setting?
That a lot too, since you guys.
I thought about this ball. When I was looking at real estate shopping in Northern Virginia, and I ran across a Reagan Middle School.
Really? Way to go!
Thanks. Yeah.
Reagan went to middle school. There's a lot of merit to the idea. Yeah.
I've floated it to a couple people. I'll see you.
See you later.
Yep.
This is a tough one to write, I think.
So is it.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to write something that's like we haven't always had this. But I think the commission has jurisdiction to...
Someone has left the conference.
Mike Hannis with Mincor Power.